Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The question again, Rich, is who should be the next Houston athlete to get a big contract? And by big contract, it doesn't necessarily have to be 6 years.
Yeah.
But when I mean big, I'm talking about the either impact or annual value. However you want to define big contract, actually, Rich, it's a question that's an opinion.
Yeah.
Much like your brackets for the free agents.
I think it's a great question.
Who would it be for you? If you were the general manager, if they assigned you to be the general manager of Houston sports, where you got to oversee all three of the teams, the Rockets, the Astros, and the Texans, who would be the one you would be most aggressively trying to lock up to a long-term deal?
Well, first let me say that if Daniel House continues shooting 55% from three, it's Daniel House Jr. And actually, he is someone that should be at least in this conversation. I know it's a very short sampling of what he's done for this franchise, but his impact cannot be overstated right now for this team, and he might be that guy. And let's not forget, the whole kerfuffle over him going down to the G League was about his long-term abilities and whether or not he can get a deal on the open market this offseason.
He's the only Rocket that, in my mind, makes this
list.
The
only one.
Because the other ones are locked up. Capella and Paul and Harden, those are the guys that matter.
Only Rocket.
They're locked up. He's the only Rocket that's on this list. That said, he's the only Rocket on the list, and he wouldn't be mine. I'd be targeting more Texans and probably Astros. Yeah. I have mine in mind, but what's yours?
All right, let me throw six names at you, and then I'll tell you who I want.
Okay, I have a list of other than House, I have a list of seven names.
Okay, then you've probably got the same six plus one.
Okay,
my six are J.D. Clowney.
Yep.
J.J. Watt.
Yep.
George Springer.
Yep.
Carlos Correa.
Yep.
Justin Verlander.
Yes.
And Garrett Cole.
I have one more.
Okay.
And ironically, the one that I have is one that we've actually gotten a text message on, multiple text messages on, since I put this topic out there, and it's Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's eligible for a big extension after the 2019 season.
But he shouldn't be the next guy. I'm sorry. Even if he plays at an MVP level in 2019, I'm a big believer in, you agreed to this system for a reason. There's no reason to jump the gun on Deshaun Watson when you don't have to.
They jumped the gun on J.J. Watt. Did you have a problem with that?
Yeah.
In 2014? I did a show with you in 2014. I don't remember you railing against the machine when they did it for Watt.
Well, that was after, what, two Defensive Player of the Year awards?
It was after one Defensive Player
of the Year awards.
Yeah, it was after the 2013 season.
No, I get it. I just feel like they've got...
Watch your guy.
But yes, he is. And if you turn this into a black and white thing, shame not you, our audience, shame on you, because that's obviously not
me.
No, not you. No, I'm in our audience because I know some people are thinking it right now.
I wasn't even thinking it.
Yeah, well, anyway, it is certainly not that. It just feels like a franchise quarterback on a rookie deal is a luxury a franchise should enjoy as much as it can.
That's fair. And it's something we bring up all the time on this show, so I think it's a fair way to look at it. So I added Watson's on my list. Watson's not the one I would pick, but I think a case could be made. What is yours out of all those names?
Well, it comes with a qualifier because I don't want a market-setting deal, but it's Clowney. I really value Clowney, maybe more than people might think based on the things we talk about and the things I've said about him.
Doesn't have to be market setting, but a big deal. You're okay with a big deal for Clowney?
If it's
a long-term deal, it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. I think so. For a couple of reasons. Number one, Springer's got 2 years left and Correa's got 3 years left before they're up. So you've got leeway with those guys. I realize Verlander and Cole are both up after this season. But I just feel a sense of urgency that you may not want to let it play out with Clowney and have him play on the franchise deal. I'll go Clowney.
Clowney's a good one. That's why it's on the list. I get what you're saying. Mine would be Justin Verlander, and I felt that even when I put this the rundown for this topic together, my answer was Verlander. It's even more Verlander after we talked to Richard Justice earlier, and he highlighted how important Verlander is to the culture of that team, how important he's been to the clubhouse, how important he's been to not just the young pitchers, but the everyday players on the roster. And I feel like Verlander is a guy that I know when we're looking at sports, we look at guys who are in their mid-30s. You and I have been talking about this Bregman contract, and the great thing is that they're not having to pay the guy when he's 36, 37, and 38. starting power pitchers who have rubber arms, who have not shown any inclination to get hurt, whose production is ascending still at age 35,
yeah,
to me are a different animal. And I'm not saying lock him up for a 4 or 5 year deal. I would offer Justin Verlander a 3 year, $90 million deal with a player opt out after the second year. That to me, Rich, is the last thing that they need to do in order to keep this current window open. And I define the current window as the next 3 years. Yeah, I know they got Bregman and Altuve for longer, but the current window, to me, they've got a window now of where all these guys are together for 2 or 3 years. That locks down the current window.
Yeah. Look, I chose Clowney. I easily could have chose Verlander. He was a very close second on my short list, and everything you said is true. He's just not that typical guy in his mid-30s. If Verlander is still Verlander 4 years from now, I'm not going to be shocked.
I won't either. And that's why I think if you feel that way, that's why certainly in the Verlander cold debate, if you feel that way, you go with Verlander, and that's why I go with Verlander. I think you can make a case for all of these guys, though. The case for Correa is you're locking up the guy who's the quote-unquote next A-Rod. I do think having two infielders already locked up to big deals like that makes it not problematic, but it does some wonky things with how you allocate your payroll.
Yeah, and if you want to hear the case for Springer, go listen to our conversation with Richard Justice earlier in the show, because he talked about not only value on the field, value when they're just working out practicing, but value in the clubhouse. He actually made a case that Springer might be the face of the franchise.
Springer is, you know what Springer is, Rich? Springer is what O'Brien always described Brian Cushing as being.
Good guy?
No, heart and soul guy.
I'm kidding.
Heart and soul guy. O'Brien would rarely bring up Brian Cushing and what he meant on the field, in part because his performance kind of declined the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think
But he would routinely bring up heart and soul guy with Brian Cushing. Springer can play, don't get me wrong, but he's the heart and soul of the team. Garrett Cole's an easy one. You're locking up a guy you feel is going to be an ace for the next 5 or 6 years. I think you made a great case for Clowney. You and I both had Watt on this list. That would have been the one where if you're asking me which one do I have on here that you didn't, I would have thought Watt, just because it gets a little cute thinking about Watt, because these are mostly guys who are entering free agency for the first time, that kind of thing.
If he does in 2019 what he did in 2018, I think the Texans are going to feel not an urgency, but perhaps an obligation to do it.
And maybe something where you're sort of securing the rest of his career. You know, you're tying him down to be a Texan for the rest of his career.
Are we missing anybody?
I don't think so. If we are, text us, 713-572-4610. My case for Watson, Rich, is that this team has taken care of only two guys with more than 1 year left on their deal, Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt. If Deshaun Watson is who we think he is going to be in 2019, and I personally think he's going to be a step above what he was in 2018 because that's just who he is. He's going to get better at a lot of things. He's going to be really, really good. If the team wins games, he's going to be in the MVP conversation. I don't know how you can't at least have conversations about it, about putting a contract together for him, where maybe it does help the team in some ways. Yeah. You know, how does he not become a guy? Now, I get it. That was another GM. That was Rick Smith. It wasn't Brian Gain. Maybe Brian Gain does stick to things more hard and fast like you want to with the quarterback salary cap situation. But it's going to be tough for Watson's representation not to point at Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt and say, my guy's in the MVP conversation. He plays the most important position on the field.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep. All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.